Little kid can do it, you can do it too. You know, I believe in you. Let me shut these off. There we go. Let's pray today, okay? Father, thank you again for an opportunity to open your word. I pray that the people that are here would hear from you. Thank you for this privilege. Help me to expound on your word. But may people be drawn closer to you for our time here this morning. Just thank you and praise you in your name. Amen. If you'd like, you can open up your Bibles to Proverbs 6. We will get there eventually. To start off with, I've gotten the dubious honor to speak about verses that have in Proverbs that have to do with nature. Okay? And, you know, hey, guy gets married in Yosemite, it seems like a natural fit. We will get to this verse here in a little bit. I want to start off with saying that if you've ever been golfing with me or any other sport type activity, maybe volleyball or whatever, there's more than a reasonable chance that you're going to hear the expression, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Right, and here he is. Look at him. He's got a little Yoda moment going on there. Now, I know most of you in here probably know what this means, but just in case someone doesn't know the idiom, it is, you might have a severe disadvantage, or maybe you don't even know what you're doing or how to do it right, but one can get lucky. One can get what one needs at the exact moment one needs it, right? Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. I've used this statement over and over and over for decades now. And I wanted to use it to kind of as a back door into the point I'm trying to make this morning. That is to say that you're not going to observe a blind squirrel in nature. I don't care how many times you go golfing, you are not going to see a blind squirrel, right? And then to be able to draw the correlation to how it might be impacting your life, spiritually speaking. But that's what we're learning about today, observing the world around you and putting two and two together, seeing something and making a spiritual connection. I'd like to humbly submit a great quote from Benjamin Franklin, actually. Hide not your talents. They for use were made. What's a sundial in the shade? Sounds like Benjamin Franklin's having his own Yoda moment. But he was talking about is, you've been given gifts, you need to use them. Now, I don't know what came first. I don't know if he saw the sundial and then thought of the words, or maybe he thought of the words and then a sundial in the shade came to mind. Which came first, chicken or an egg? That's not what I'm here to argue. But if you're anything like me, you'd walk up to a sundial in the shade if you saw one out and about in a park somewhere, and you'd look at that thing, and if you're like me, you'd be like, that's not doing anybody any good. But would you take the next step and draw the correlation from that sundial to your own spiritual life? Would it remind you of the Lord, what the Lord has given you, what the Lord has tasked you with? Would it remind you of Scripture? We have all been given good works to do. Would it remind you that you've got a job to be doing? Quit hanging out in the shade, put down the iced tea, and get to work. Would it spiritually motivate you, inspire you to get going? Proverbs 24, verse 32, if you would, back there. Don't have to turn there just yet. We'll get there. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. Are we looking around us with spiritual eyes? Are you interacting with the world with the heart of Christ? I pre-warned you in announcements that this is going to be more of a poetic, more of a touching on the creative side. I always forget what side of the brain that is. Anybody? Left side? Left side creative? Right side's creative. Right side's creative. And I get it. Most of us, that you've got to clear out some serious dust bunnies to start working that side of your brain. I get it. For me, it's a little bit easier. That's my degree. I got my degree in art. Maybe I can speak to it a little bit because I'm currently in that moment. I have a graduating high schooler taking off for college in a week. I'm going through this time of transition, empty nesting. And I, yes, ma'am. And I told first service, I was talking to the sweet lady who was running the info booth, and she was like, oh, isn't it so sad when they go off to college? I was like, no. Now, admittedly, yeah, it'll be sad to see Tim go, but man, we are ready. He's ready, I'm ready, Carla's ready, we're ready, ready, ready. But it brings me back to Scripture. There's a season for all things. It's a time for everything. There's a time for kids to leave the nest. Are we looking with the heart of Christ? Are we still being challenged when we look out there? Are we being uplifted? Are we being inspired? Maybe we see stuff and we're being warned. I don't know. You're probably not like me, because every once in a while I need a stern no. You stop it. Just stop. We all need that, right? We all need that in our lives. Just stop it. Sometimes we need to see that, and we need to hear that from the Lord. Are we being inspired? Are we exhorted by the things that are happening around us? Are they driving us to Scripture? Do the things you see bring the word of the Lord to your mind? Now, I need to stop and make sure I'm being clear here that I'm not talking about simply making up who God is or what the truth is just on your own higgledy-piggledy-ness. Something comes to mind. If you see something and you put two and two together, chicken or the egg, you put two and two together and you go, oh, that reminds me of that the Lord is good. Well, really? Can you find that the Lord is good in the Bible? Right? Like, go back to Scripture. Scripture is our only authority on who God is and what He's trying to tell us, what He's trying to inspire us to do. So as you look to things, as we learn a little bit more about this skill that I think we're all given to use, but many of us couch it back there behind our analytical brains, I want you to make sure you back everything up with Scripture, because it is the measuring stick for who the Lord is. Now, many of the proverbs presented in the Bible that use the symbolism of nature have to do with the wealth and the wisdom of doing hard work. Okay? Now, I know we probably covered this, that Gary probably covered this, and maybe some of the verses we're about to go over, but you know what? I think it's kind of fitting. The next 4 months are going to look like what to our wallets and purses? Back to school shopping, college shopping for some of us, decorating classrooms, fall, you know, October activities. Then before we know it, we turn around and we're already making plans for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and all the purchasing starts happening. It's about time. It's probably a good moment for us to reflect on wealth, what to do with our money. But it's not the thrust of our sermon here. I'm just using it as a point, because many of this of the nature proverbs have to do with wealth. So chapter 6, verse 1. I'm reading out of the ESV for this short chunk of scripture just because it just reads easier out loud. My son, if you put up security for your neighbor, in other words, you're in debt to your neighbor, or you have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. We'll pause there for half a second. If you've been to Financial Peace University, you've seen these images. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Don't worry, the gazelle gets away. Every time. That's not true. Point being, it's be earnest about getting out of debt, because it's looking to eat you. Interestingly enough, take a look at what the scripture has to say, whose responsibility it is to get you out of your financial woes. You. You got yourself in this mess. You get yourself out. Now, that's not to say that the Lord can't bless you with a $2,000 check in the mail that you never expected. Have lunch with Carla and I, and we'll tell you about the eight times that's happened in our lives. $2,000 in the mail, no reason. Well, reasons, but not expected. I think that's because we were faithful in our giving, but that's a whole different message about tithing, which we're not doing today. But Scripture clearly says it's on you to deal with the financial woes you've got. And then the verse goes on to say how to get out of that sort of trouble. It says, go to the ant, O sluggard. I love the fact that the Lord likes to call us names every once in a while. Right? You ever want to do that to your own kid? Listen here, dope. There's a couple parents over there. They know what I'm talking about. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. That little thing I do, that too? That little thing I go, like, get off my kitchen counter, minion of Satan. I can look at that thing and be wise. I can learn from that. I got to put two and two together. Oh, okay, Lord. What does verse 7 say? Ants, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm taking a nap in about an hour and a half, y'all. But I need to be able to look down the road and go, oh, hey, you know what? There's a Thanksgiving turkey I'm going to have to wind up buying. Oh, we're going to go on a trip. Oh, I got to do laundry while I'm at college. Like, I got to prepare for those things. You need to be prepared. You got 4 months, 5 months. Get your budget in order. Verse 10 says, Solomon writes, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Man, I could just, me on the couch, Arnold Palmer in a kung fu movie. That's what my Sunday afternoons look like. Your poverty will come like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. Oh, right. Okay, let me go do what I need to do. Next, in chapter 14, verse 4, it says, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. Look at these two dudes right here. Now, I'm no farmer. Matter of fact, People who handle things like that, I am, man, you have a skill I do not have. I mean, I think of little Carly Vanderwall. Carly, like, does steers for the 4-H. Like, little Carly Vanderwall. She's like this big, people. She's about as big around as your pinky. I love the fact that she, like, gives them all names. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. This one's name is Stetson, because it's going to become hats. You know, like, she's very honest about it. She's down to earth about the whole thing. But any 4-H'er will tell you that these oxen, they can create a mess, right? Hey, I've got too many college degrees. I do not want to be cleaning a stall. They make a mess. Now, yeah, you want a nice, pristine barn where everything is in its place and it's all clean. Or you can actually have oxen who actually do work and get things dirty and messy. If you need revenue, if you need to earn a living, I mean, don't get me wrong. My guess is there might be 30 of you in here who don't need to earn a living. Is that right? No. All of you need to earn a living, right? No one's got a swimming pool like Scrooge McDuck. We're not swimming in gold coins or nothing. Everyone needs to earn a living in here. The proverb is helping us point to the fact that hard work, if you need revenue, hard work comes with being messy. Is what it is. Not the cleanest thing in the world. You usually got to deal with other human beings, and that's just a mess to begin with, right? The mess is just part of the deal with work. Chapter 23:4 says to us, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Oh, man. Do one or the other one, I don't know. Cease from your consideration of it, wealth. When you set your eyes on it, wealth, is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heavens. You always like to think about the eagle and scripturally speaking in the Bible, like, oh, I'm going to rise up with the wings of eagles. So does your wealth, people. You get it and it's gone. You know, I'm not going to point any fingers. Please don't raise your hand. But many of us, your check is spent before it ever reaches the bank account. Because we're focused on it. Part of it is you're focused on it rather than focusing on the Lord. You're focusing on gaining that wealth. You're focused on gaining more and more and more, and you have forgotten to figure out how you can be a blessing with it instead. That there's a balance to strike between being a hoarder and being content. Striving for more and more, or being good with what you got, still be a blessing. We must be diligent in striking that balance. And more to our point this morning, let me bring us back to the point. Here in Lake County, we are surrounded by animals doing work and other things everywhere, right? Everybody's got a cow or a chicken or a farm or a lamb or llamas. I once had a sixth grader. She thought the llamas that lived down my street were giraffes. I kid you not. I was like, oh, honey, those are llamas. That's not a giraffe. But we've got animals all over the joint around here. Every third, first grader's got themselves eggs to sell, right? But are you allowing the animals to point out larger spiritual, scriptural truths in your life? Are you taking the extra step to put two and two together? The next verse that I've got, I really love this one. Chapter 24, verse 30. Solomon, good old wise Solomon, I passed by a field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, It was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. Really? It's a broken wall, man. How many of you in here have to manage fences? We got any farmers in here who got to manage fences or property lines or anything like that? How many of us, they'll let that sit another season? Solomon, buddy, you're looking at that and you're allowing it to make some kind of spiritual connection to you? Yes. As a matter of fact, it brings back to his mind scripture that the Lord had him write earlier. Look at the very next verse, verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty comes as a robber and your want like an armed man. He was reminded of scripture. He was reminded that even this can make a spiritual impact. Work diligently. Don't be lazy. Keep up with the efforts that work asks of you. And some of us have those jobs, man. Oh, no one comes in the office at 3:00. I think that's just about the right time to check on my YouTube subscriptions. Right? Sometimes you can totally avoid doing work real easy and look like you're doing work. And if we carried this imagery, this broken wall imagery, into bearing fruit, having a fruitful spiritual life, we must be able to be reminded to keep up with making sure that nettles don't creep into our spiritual lives. If a weed creeps into your spiritual life, you yank that sucker up by the root and throw it in the fire. I am personally in the process of ripping out the weeds in my house. Oh, why did I ever let the weeds in the first place? Got to pull them out. We certainly don't want to allow the hedges of protection fall apart in our own spiritual lives. We've got walls that are hard no's. We cannot allow them to break down. When we do find some fault in the fence, we cannot be spiritually lazy. We have to fix that. Solomon's reminded of the proverb the Lord had him write down earlier. All of creation should be reminding us of the Lord in Scripture. My guess is that at least some of you are sitting out here this whole time going, my brain doesn't think that way, Jason. I just can't do it. I'm so sorry. Can I challenge you? Are you just out of practice? Is the only time you ever think about God when you see nature, like at a sunrise or sunset? Or maybe when you stare out at Mount Kanakdai every once in a while and you go, active volcano. When was the last time you looked up at the night sky and just sat in awe in the creation of it all? And that you, and you, and you are part of that creation. Let me tell you, not everyone gets that view, everybody. Carl and I have lived in a lot of places that people don't get that view. Well, what are you talking about, Jason? It's the night sky. It's right there. You just got to wait till the sun goes down. No. Many people in America do not see stars in the sky. There's just too much city light, too much suburb city light, street lights and so forth. The only time they may get a glance at it is when the moon is not out. Don't waste the opportunity to look up every once in a while. There's some other verses that I thought might be interesting, and just to kind of bring home the point here. Chapter 30, verse 24. Four things are small on earth, but they are exceedingly wise. We can learn from them. The ants are not a strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. We've read about that already. The Shephanim. Okay, folks, a Shephanim is basically a badger. Okay? It's a badger. The badger are not mighty people, yet they make their houses in the rocks. They don't build. They just find a rock and go, yep, that's house. Where do I put in the home theater unit? The locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in ranks. They fly in waves. The lizard you may grasp with your hands, yet it is in kings' palaces. It makes its home in the best places possible. It finds a home. Chapter 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. When was the last time you looked at a tree and went, huh, that could be my spiritual life? Abundant, so full of water that the leaves are curling. So full of life and vigor, and then some weird old fat man pulls it off the tree? No. Verse 11:29, he who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be servant to the wise-hearted. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. I want to make sure that we all remember the fact that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Did I miss one? Maybe. Fruit, spiritual fruit, is also the disciples that you help along spiritually. That's the real fruit we're talking about. That they will produce fruit, and they will produce fruit. Christianity will continue to multiply because we bear fruit. Are you currently being discipled by someone? I don't care where, how old, or what stage you're at. Are you currently discipling someone? Let me encourage you to do so. You want to see your spiritual life grow between now and the end of the year? Actively, intentionally pour into the life of someone who doesn't know Jesus or has just begun on that journey. I don't care what stage you're at in that journey. I encourage even new believers. Hey, once you got your feet under you, like in the first month or two, find someone. Pour into them. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. If you are looking for someone and you're just too shy to ask them, come talk to me. If you are interested in discipling someone but you don't know who to ask, come talk to me. I'll do the whole handshaking thing, no problem. But let's move on. Chapter 18, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. We people have lots and lots of words. But wisdom is just a babbling brook. Bubbling brook, not babbling. Bubbling brook. Who doesn't like a bubbling brook? You ever go on a hike? On a trail? Maybe it was like decades ago. Who knows? But you come across a little brook. Bloop, 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 bloop. And then one of your friends tries to jump it and they fall and land and crash and get all muddy. And you laugh and you enjoy the brook. Everyone loves a good brook. Enjoy wisdom. I love this last one I'm going to give you. Chapter 27:19 says, as in water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. That's so good. I'm going to give it to you twice. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Let me ask you, when was the last time you woke up in the morning and just stared at yourself. I do it every morning, try to remember who I am. But seriously, when you look in that mirror, when was the last time you just stared in it? Stared. You know, some people got those weird looks. They're staring into my soul. I'm saying do that to yourself. Next time you're in the bathroom, just take a good solid 5 minutes. People will think you're in there for other reasons. Stare at yourself. Look past the imperfections. Look past the place that you didn't shave. And you got the hair who's out there talking to you 5 million miles out. And look at who you've become. And who the Lord wants you to be. And reflect on how do you get those two things to be closer together. There are a lot of other verses about nature in the Proverbs, but really they're all pointing us to a much larger skill, again, that I think that we need to start using more. Because the Spirit of the Lord has made us all creative. Every single last one of you, even if those of you say, I don't have a creative bone in my body. Yeah, you do. It's just creative in non-normal creative ways. You know what I'm saying? You might be a whiz-bang electrical engineer. Hey, that's you're creative about that sort of stuff. Come over to my house. I got some work to do. So just take whatever area you are creative in and apply those skills, spiritually speaking, when you look at the world around you. I want to give us a little practice because the Lord would have us see Him in all things and to give Him glory in all things. Why don't you give me that first slide there, please, Mike. Thank you. When you look at that, what scripture comes to mind? I won't say much. Just go ahead and think about it. You don't have to yell them out or nothing. Just think. Do you get reminded that Jesus is the bridge? How about walking on water? How about calming the storm? Or maybe you're like me. You look at that mountain in the very background and you go, I had the faith of a mustard seed. I could pull that sucker right up next to me on the beach. Lord, help me in my unbelief. What about this next one? Who went to the corn maze last year? They're doing the corn maze again this year. This was a picture from inside the corn maze. Narrow is the path. Next one, please, Mike. I'm going to turn the corner here a little bit. The fair, Lake County Fair. I don't know what it is, but the Demolition Derby just puts a smile on my face and makes me giggle. I don't know what it is. But, okay, so yeah, not nature, right? Clearly not nature. But when you look at it, do you go, run the race with endurance? Right? How about the next one? Speaking of the fair and the pear festival. 3 years ago when Carl and I came back after a 10-year stint away, when we went to the Pear Festival, somehow the Pear Festival blew up. And we were like, sea of human flesh at the Pear Festival. When you look at all the people at the fair, when you look at all the people at the Pear Festival, do you go, people who need Jesus. Lost people. Or do you only go to the fair really with the heart and mind attitude of, oh, I wonder who I get to bump into at the fair. I love my friends. I want to talk to my friends. Do you see hurting people at the fair? Typically, hurting people go to where people are. Just to have some sense of connection. Do you see lost people? Because you know what? They need the smile and joy and hope that you carry. They need the smile and hope that you bring, that you're about to like lavish upon Karen and Jerry Hook at the Pear Festival. They need the smile that you're going to bring when you bump into a Del Bosco while he's eating on a gigantic funnel cake. They need the joy on your face as you're standing in line at the 4-H booth for that tri-tip sandwich. Oh, it's a glorious thing. Yes. But you know what? The person just in front of you could just, hey, you look good today. Parents and their screaming kids because the kids passed their nap time or whatever, or didn't get whatever they want. Parent, you keep it up. You do it. You got this. It's okay. Encourage that parent. We all know them. We all run from them. I'm saying don't. Let the things that you see in the world spur you on spiritually. Back them up with Scripture. Let them remind you of the Lord and the Scripture that He's taught you abundantly, and act on it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word. I pray that you would bless us. Bless us with the opportunities even this week to be more in touch spiritually when we see things out in the world. Maybe even it's just one time today and two times tomorrow and maybe four times the day after that. Help us to be more spiritually in tune. Help us to put two and two together. Lord, remind us of your word often. And may we help encourage others because of it. We thank you. We praise you in your name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Go in His grace and peace. And don't forget, if you've got a blanket from VBS, don't forget to pick it up, please. Thank you.